Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with us today, Lord. Give us wisdom concerning these orders to warfare. Thank you so much, Lord, for the victory you have given us in Jesus Christ. Redeemed us out of the hand of our enemies. Amen. All right, this is Fiery Trials Bring Great Revival, number 2. And this first revelation, and only revelation, is called Precision in Prayer and Warfare Over Enemies. This was a revelation given to Dana Coverstone, July of 2022. And we're going to share a part of it with you and make comments. He said, after I share this, I encourage you to pray about it. I had this dream for 18 days in a row, and on the 18th day, the archer in this dream showed up, and that's when I knew the dream is either over or I'm going to learn what the dream is about. Yes, I believe it's the latter part there. It's not over. It is coming, like all dreams, almost all dreams are. So I asked the Lord if our authority over the forces of darkness will annul some of this coming judgment, and got a yes. And then I asked if we have authority to annul all of this, and I got a no. And I believe we'll see that in the text. So pray and ask for directions to exercise your authority over this dream, okay? He said, the dream started on June 15, 2022. I was standing in a shipping yard where large containers were being lifted off of the container ships by those huge cranes. And there was a sign that said, Port of Los Angeles. Well, a port is an entrance into a country. And Los Angeles means the angels. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, meaning, of course, knowledge or wisdom. And we will see that the Chinese Communist Party are leading a revolution of anarchy against conservatism and Christianity. And although they have been badly wounded by the alliance, they are capable of doing small things that can cause big trouble. He went on to say, I saw 8 jet black containers that were set on the ground about 15 feet apart, and they were pristinely clean with large Chinese or Oriental letters on them. These large letters were in black, and they were about 5 feet tall by 5 feet wide, and they had a brownish black background behind them. So they stood out almost like 3D on the containers. Well, 5x5 is a military term meaning loud and clear. And as we will see, these events take place in broad daylight. Our enemies are not even trying to hide what they are doing any longer. There is a purpose for this distraction. I believe we'll get to this in a minute. But Dana went on to say, they were very suspicious and just set aside or apart from everything else. The black, he said, indicates some clandestine plans that are being revealed or some darkness. True. And deception, I would say, being brought into this country. It was broad daylight, not night. And I could see a large clock tower that seemed to be suspended high above the shipping facility. It was exactly set at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, And when I saw this, all the eight doors of those shipping containers began to bang like someone was inside them trying to get out. There were no people outside of the containers, but I saw they began to shake and they were banging violently. He said there was a hidden agenda about to be revealed. The clock tower was showing us a sign. And Jesus went to the cross at about the third hour, and it was dark on the earth for about 3 hours. I want to emphasize that it was bright light outside. It wasn't high noon, but you could see everything that was going on. Well, the comment about Jesus going to the cross just lets you know the body of Christ is going to the cross too. Okay. Suddenly the door of the first container opened, and a man in military equipment rode out on a very large green dirt bike like a Kawasaki. It had saddlebags on both sides and very large knobby tires. These dirt bikes were higher caliber dirt bikes. The guy that pulled out on this motorcycle was covered in military gear. He had an AK-47 over his back, and he took his helmet off and stepped off the bike and put the kickstand down. Well, off-road bikes, he said, can go anywhere in the city or country. This is true. And that's the whole plan. And I believe this represents the ability to infiltrate any area of the country desired. And when he took his helmet off, he was revealing himself as an Oriental man. Well, the Chinese Communist Party is deep state and are fighting to subvert and overthrow the country, basically for communism. Yeah. He went on to say he began violently screaming towards the trucks and the shipping containers. He was pointing in different directions and looking back at the trucks. He was violently angry, and his face was very, very red. Well, the Chinese Communist Party has lost some battles recently to the Alliance, and they're severely weakened, and I think this would be something they might try. And Dana went on to say, suddenly he just stopped and checked his watch. Then he put his helmet back on and got back on the motorcycle and started revving the engine. It just revs and revs and revs. He has not put it in gear, and all at once, that clock tower struck 4 o'clock. And there was this deep-sounding bell that rang out. The whole earth shook. Well, we do know some earthquakes are planned by the deep state. We know that from our dreams and our revelations. So keep that in mind. They're in cooperation. I mean, the whole earth just shook so angrily, even where I was standing in the background watching. We've got to face the facts that not just our natural enemies of America are angry, but our spiritual enemy is angry right now, and things are being revealed. I think doors are opening and things are happening. I believe we're about to see something happen that's going to shake the earth, and it's going to start a downhill trend of things or events from here. Yes, this D-class is definitely going to shake the earth outside of any physical earthquakes that could be part of this invasion. We have dreams where mad scientists are planning great earthquakes in the U.S. And since this is all in the daylight, it's possible that they want a distraction so that the invasion can come across the border, as we will see. We've been told that the White Hats plan on intercepting the invasion and turning it around. But for some reason, this doesn't happen in this dream. A distraction? Yeah. Then out of each of those other containers, including the one the man came out of, rode about 25 soldiers on the same kind of motorcycles with the same kind of saddlebags and the same AK-47s across their backs. I could also see rocket-propelled grenades, lots of ammo and weapons in those saddlebags, and they were hardly able to be strapped down because they were loaded for bear. Okay, so aside from the spiritual, there is a possible natural application of this. 200 soldiers with this kind of weaponry could do a lot of damage in the right places, but they could also be military advisors for the invaders coming across the border and sleeper cells. And so we may see this a little bit further down here. But these weapons could also represent deceptions of words and propaganda to cause anarchy, since the Chinese own all the media outlets. And when the first soldier, who had been revving his engine and giving the instructions, took off out of that port, the rest of them followed, and I could see that when they got beyond the large fence of the Los Angeles port, they took off, just speeding heavily in all different directions, meaning they were independently sent to join different groups, I believe. And Dana said, now these weapons were definitely going to be used to attack, and we know the church has been under attack, and crisis pregnancy centers have been under attack, but the Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. And he went on to say, we've got people who are calling themselves Christians supporting abortions and other things that God calls abominable. I believe we're about to see a greater outpouring of judgment on the house of God, which is biblical. In that sense, this could well show not just attacks on the country, but attacks on the church. Well, this is what God has told us is coming in our morning prayer meetings and in verses, and what Babylon did to the apostates using sword, famine, and pestilence. History is repeating. Okay. And he shares Ezekiel chapter 8, 16 through 18. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east. And they were worshiping the sun towards the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? It is a light thing to the house of the Lord that they commit abominations, which they commit here. For they have filled the land with violence, and have turned again to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in wrath. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Well, okay. This obviously is a rebuke to the church, a judgment which is coming because the church is apostate. And then Dana said, the scene then changed, and I was hearing news reports and seeing newspaper articles and reporters who were announcing deaths all over the country in both rural and metropolitan areas. The reports were about water supplies. And water systems being poisoned in various places around the country. Well, we've had dreams and revelations about this too. The military is warning not to drink municipal water. They have done it several times. They know there's some poisoning coming, or it's already poisoned, one or the other. I saw headlines suggesting entire communities were poisoned in various places throughout the country. He went on to say the reporters were telling people to drink nothing but bottled water and or water they knew was not connected to a local water supply. They were saying if you've got a well, you should be okay, but still, you might want to boil it. So this poison was affecting both larger and smaller communities, but not every community. So obviously prayer can help that way too. So this was not a nationwide thing, but it was impacting a lot of communities. It was impacting the western portion of the country more than other parts of the nation, according to the reporters. They were announcing that there were National Guard units fully armed who are now watching water supplies in some of the bigger cities and parts of the nation. It was reported that thousands of people had died and that hospitals were full of heavily poisoned people getting medical treatment. FEMA centers and camps were being set up in those regions where people had been the most heavily poisoned and the water supply damaged. The emergency broadcast announcement that was running along the bottom of the TV screens and monitors stated that the boiling of water was not an effective way of making the water safe. Well, all this could be a distraction to our military to keep them from stopping the invasion that is going to come across the border. I then saw the clock tower appear above that municipal water supply, and its hands pointed to 4:05 in the afternoon. Once again, this was occurring in broad daylight. So, we're definitely seeing some type of a literal attack, but this could be a spiritual attack in the sense of what's going on with the deceptions in the media, not knowing what's happening and not knowing what we're drinking, so to speak. He went on to say the time 4:05 indicates the idea that there's a countdown. First, the soldiers take off. Now we're seeing the poisoning of the water supply. He went on to say, spiritually speaking, this represents being careful what we drink, being careful what we put into our body, being careful what we listen to, making sure that we test every spirit and listen carefully for the Word of God in order to discern those things that are going on in our world, and also that we're cautious and careful what we are consuming. Well, you know, there's no way in some poisons, there's no way for you to detect it in the water by smell or other means. No way to detect it. It's just that you need to be in touch with the Lord, right? And you need to bless your water, okay? And after I had the 18 days of dreams, I had two short dreams. One where I saw some people watching TV monitors at airports and in homes, and they were covering their mouths. It was like what they were seeing on the TV was so terrifying, like a 911 event, that they covered their mouths, and it was summertime because I saw the grass was brown from the heat. I saw on the screens of every TV in America people crying, embracing each other, and they were seemingly in shock. So fear is going to be a big weapon the enemy uses against the people. I'm sure there'll be another pandemic that is going to be terrible, far terribly worse than the last one we just had. In the dreams, the people who are watching the news weren't looking up, and that's the key. I believe we cannot be afraid, as everybody else is, of what they're seeing and the things that are happening in America or around the world. We've got to be looking up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. If we're looking at the news and covering our mouth in horror, that means that we are not speaking because of fear. And folks, right now, the church needs to be fully aware of what's happening around us and not afraid. Well, amen. And most of all, the church needs to repent. Turn back to the Word of God. They would have been armored up for this thing, but they are not. Okay, well, back to the dream. The next thing I saw was four lines of light that seemed to be coming up from the border, all the way from Texas and California in broad daylight. This could be representing that they were no longer attempting to hide their plans, and this is a planned invasion over the border. And it seemed that many people were coming from the border, he said, in a very organized way, and they moved north hundreds of miles with lights bright enough to be seen from space. Well, as we said earlier, these lights could represent deception because these people are deceived. And as all the leftists are deceived in what they're doing to try to overthrow, and for one thing, Christianity in America. And they all stopped moving at once. And when they did, smaller light trails from within the U.S. started moving towards the four big lines of light where the movement had stopped. I think they're being joined by the CCP military advisors and sleeper cells. I remember George Washington's dream of the red light invasion from the east, and how the angels had to come down and help the Americans who were almost overcome by it. Well, this is definitely a red invasion from the east. Okay. Then suddenly the smaller lights started attacking. I could very much see this as being sleeper cells, he said. Yep. Yeah, I would say like leftist anarchists, BLM, Antifa, radical Muslims, etc. More people coming, and the cells getting larger and larger. It was like watching moths drawn to a flame, and the source lights kept getting brighter and brighter as the smaller lights came in. The source light kept getting bigger and bigger, and then all four places flashed all at once, and everything went dark for a moment. And then it pulsed almost like a slow light just going on and off. They're gathering together, obviously, to form an attack. This is what happened in the movie Red Dawn. The Chinese invaders EMP'd the nation to take it over. And then he went on to say, it exploded and the light was spread hundreds of miles from the source of that explosion. Then I saw the clock tower again, and it stood high above the ground and showed the time to be 4:10. Okay, now this is not literal, that timing thing, you know, but it is a series of events for sure. I saw small embers of flames that were coming down around the clock, but not catching the ground on fire, although it looked like fire coming down. Well, Missy just had a dream that may have showed the embers of fire coming down out of the sky, but not catching anything on fire, just like this portion of Dana's dream. So both of these dreams seem to show the embers as being spiritual, a fire from heaven. I would say that this judgment against the church, as we will see, is a fire from heaven. It's been warned a long time. It is according to types and shadows in the scriptures when Babylon took down the apostate people of God. Okay. It's ordered of the Lord. But the Lord will have mercy in certain cases, and he will defend those who are righteous. So anyway, Dana went on to say, these explosions of light were spreading out and the flames were going hundreds of miles beyond them. I'm thinking that this is fear, because remember, the mainstream media is deep state to the core, and you shouldn't be listening to them, honestly, because they can't tell the truth. And Dana went on to say, there seemed to be a lot of intimidation going on during this time. It seemed like a worldly attack. And at the same time, the trails seemed to represent inroads for the enemy, spiritually speaking. So whatever these four light trails were, they were drawing other people into them. I believe it's, since it was all the way along the southern border, It's probably the invasion coming in from the south and people joining them. And we know, of course, that they've been invited in by this leftist president. The light and explosion wanted to be seen. There was no hiding what was coming up that trail. These things were coming up clearly in the daylight. Now, there was shock and awe for a while, but there was also fear that was projected out by this explosion. Yes, that's the main thing. They want to make it shock and awe. They want to make it fear because it confuses people and so on. Once again, the clock tower at 4:10 represents we're counting towards the next event. And then there was sudden silence, and it permeated the atmosphere. And I believe this is representing persecution of free speech or fear to speak out. He went on to say, I saw the clock strike 4:15, and suddenly there was this alarm going off almost like a tornado siren. A long wail was going across the entire nation. It wasn't just focused on one area. But, as he went on to say, no one was hearing the alarm. Well, they were feeling alarmed, which affected their ability to be rational. And obviously, they were not acting on the alarm like this one here, which is warning them of the things to come. People didn't seem to know what they heard. I could hear it in the dream, but nobody else seemed to hear it. So that silence was almost like people not knowing what was coming next. But that alarm was saying, hey, there's something happening. Something's coming. But there were still people covering their mouths, and the explosions from the trail of whatever it was coming up from the border, and then that sudden silence. And in the background, the wail of that siren. Okay. Then the scene changed, and I saw churches of all shapes and sizes nationwide. and they were surrounded by mobs of people screaming. They had placards and signs. This was more than just about the overturn of Roe v. Wade. This was more than just about liberal agendas or drag queens talking to kids in libraries. These people were chanting hostile threats that they were going to burn the churches down. Okay, well, this is something that Babylon basically did against the people of God. So, this is just a repeat of history. All of the anarchist leftist groups taking this opportunity to bring down their enemies, the Christians, right? Dana went on to say they were going to kill the Christians. There were no idle threats. They were saying, we are going to kill you. We're going to burn your church. We're going to do this or do that. Well, this is one way Deep State Babylon destroyed the apostate people of God. And God's plan is to deliver his people from Babylonish religion so that they may follow the man-child reformers into the wilderness tribulation, which is very close. Will it take burning some churches to scatter the people and cause them to look elsewhere? What about burning churches with people in them? You know, would they feel safe in their churches? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. This would really put a damper on all of that. Maybe people would go looking on the internet for truth, searching out things and so on. And they'll probably find it somewhere besides in these dead religions. Well, they were all about 150 feet away, and some maintained a distance. There was a bit of considerable difference between the protesters and the people yelling and screaming. Inside those churches, I could hear people leading others in prayer. But no one was praying very much out loud. Well, that's what they do in those churches. They bow their head and pray quietly. Well, there was no power or authority in their prayers. It was just things like, oh God, you've got to help us. Oh God, can you save us? Oh God, look out there. People in the churches were looking out the windows and they were reporting, hey, the crowd's getting bigger. There's more people out there. And yet at the same time, nobody inside the prayer circles were stepping up the prayer and being aggressive with it. Well, you know what James said, the double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. He is not to think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. And these churches are not good at receiving answers to prayer because they don't know how to pray and they don't know how to do spiritual warfare. So they have not been taught to pray with the authority of the promises of God. And they're not used to getting answers to prayer either. And this is why God wants the elect to come out from among them and seek true faith. Amen. Dana went on to say, suddenly I saw five different churches, one in the Midwest, two in the Northeast, one in the Southeast, one in the Northwest. I saw one church in each of those areas. Okay, representing, I imagine, the larger church group in the area. Okay. Well, five is the number of grace. It appears that some churches will find grace to escape this. So listen in. Arrows were being fired into the crowd from the roof of those churches with bow and arrows, and each of the arrows scattered the hostile crowds. So, it was one church in each of those areas. It was a cross section of Christian churches. But on top of just these five that were picked out, grace was shown. Arrows were being fired into the crowd from the roof of those churches with bow and arrows, and each of the arrows scattered the hostile crowds. So is this the way part of this attack can be annulled? Or is there more in this warning dream to be annulled? Okay. They hit the pavement and they scattered the protesters and they began to flee. As I watched the people scrambling, I noticed the archer on each of those five churches appeared to be the very same man firing those arrows from all five locations simultaneously with precision and care. Well, the first thing when I read this, I thought, this one man is Jesus. And it's Jesus manifested in a corporate body because they fired from all the churches at one time, these chosen churches at one time. They're a corporate body of man-child reformers who we've been telling you is coming and are going to receive an anointing very soon who will defend what should be defended. You know, Jesus pronounced the judgment on Jerusalem and he didn't defend it, because they were persecutors of the saints, killers of the prophets, and so on and so forth. They were guilty. In Esther, Mordecai, meaning little man or man-child, was given authority over Haman and his army of haters of God's people, which turned the tide against them to save God's people. And this is our Purim, our Passover. Okay. And Dana went on to say these arrows were against the words of attack. Well, let me point out this to you. Luke 10 and 18, I would say through 20. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. These are different legions of demons, by the way. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. So it is demons. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. So we have authority. And this is not what prayer is. Prayer is asking, okay. Authority is doing what's been delegated to you to do. Okay. Dana then went on to say, I realized that the alarm had been going off this whole time, but the people in the churches had been so concerned about the crowd, they weren't hearing the alarm. Well, this whole time, I mean, the alarm going off is the prophetic warnings of all these things that are being ignored by the apostate churches who no longer believe in prophetic warnings. They're helpless. They haven't been taught the full gospel. And some of them that claim full gospel are not. Okay. Dana went on to say, I had been seeing that clock tower this entire time, and it finally stopped as the archer started walking towards me. It was the man that I have previously seen in my dreams, with a quiver full of sheer white arrows. Yep. I believe this is representing the pure words of authority against the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. They glowed, even though it was the middle of the afternoon, and each of these arrows had an extremely sharp point. They were very effective against the enemy, right? They were just really, really cool and ornate. He then pulled from over his back this very large longbow. Well, that's obviously made for long-distance warfare, right? Because it really doesn't matter in the spirit realm. You know, your commands to the demon realm will come to pass. Don't matter how far away they are. And when he put it down in front of him, the bottom touched the ground and the top was about head high. It was a longbow. Then the alarm stopped. Well, I believe the church had no authority in prayer or spiritual warfare, but the man-child types throughout history have had this. And that's why these men were a corporate body on the top of these buildings that had grace, that received grace from God, okay? And they were defended. So I believe prayer and spiritual warfare will defend those churches that have grace. It doesn't mean that they are mature in the Lord or that everything they teach is right, but they found grace with the Lord. And a lot of churches are not going to find grace with the Lord, as you will see. The man stood silent for a few moments, and he surveyed the area, and then he turned and was watching around the church areas, and he said, quote, "There must be precision in your prayers." You need to pray very precisely, not just general prayers, which rarely get answered. "There must be precision in your prayers from this point forward, absolute precision, to counter the noise and the violence that will be aimed at the body," unquote. So we are to cast down the demons of anarchy, hatred, slander, railing, perversion, Antichrist in general, etc., who are in control of these attackers, right? Then he said, "The church must remember, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit that will help you to walk straight through this battle." This, Dana said, "This thing is spiritual that we are fighting. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the White House or Congress that we're fighting. It's spiritual things in darkness that have invaded this country and have deluded the minds of those around us." Amen. Then he said, "There must be precision and power in your prayers. The war has arrived, and those awake are in front lines now. And you will never be able to get away or withdraw from that line." In other words, after this starts, you're going to have to continue to do prayer and spiritual warfare. Life as usual won't go on. Then he said, "This absolute precision is required in your prayers," unquote. The Lord just said, it's not going to stop. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We've got to continue to stand and hold our ground and occupy until he comes. Well, okay. Think how bad it could get if we don't exercise authority over the demons. And the churches are pretty much defenseless because they haven't been taught that we are here to walk in the shoes of Jesus and exercise authority over demons. And he said, "These signs will accompany them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. So, and of course, some of these churches don't even believe in demons. So they're really in trouble, you know. After saying this, he took a defensive position and quickly put an arrow into the bow and shot straight up in the air and just kept looking in that direction. He wasn't looking around at the crowd or the people near the churches. He just shot it straight up into the air, and that arrow never came back down. I found myself kind of watching and waiting for it to come back down, but it never did. Well, my thought on this is that the warfare of Jesus in his people who have borne fruit is against the principalities and powers in the second heaven. And beyond that, in the third heaven, their prayers go to the throne. Yeah. So, Dana said he kept looking into the air where he shot it, and he never looked back at me. And he said, the Bible says that his word will not return void. I promise you, our prayers will not either. Our eyes need to be on him and never leaving that front line, never being distracted by the noise and the violence. Well, we have to do more than pray. And when we pray, we have to believe we have received, as Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So when you pray, believe you have received. Then you have authority. We have to exercise authority for him. All authority in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus. Then he turned and delegated that authority to his disciples, all the way down to us, because he told them to make disciples and teach those disciples to submit to everything that he spoke to those first disciples. So therefore, everything that Jesus spoke to those disciples was to come to us. And what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, he said. He delegated authority to us. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Did Jesus get sent with authority? Of course. And he sent us with authority. I repeat, Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Does that matter how big the enemy is? No, it doesn't. Over all the power of the enemy. You could be totally outnumbered on the ground. It makes no difference. Principalities and powers are the ones ruling these people. We have authority over all of them. And he goes on to say, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Well, notice, we've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. And why is it that this is not being passed on? It was passed on from Jesus to the first disciples, who he told to make disciples and tell them the same thing. So how come it's not being passed on in the churches? They're defenseless, and their leaders are guilty. So we have authority to bind the enemy's power. The disciples, when they were delegated authority, didn't go back and ask Jesus to do what they were just told to do. Try this with your earthly boss and see if it doesn't get you fired. The disciples commanded healing and demons and the curse and so on. They didn't go and ask Jesus to do this. And so it is with us. You go, your prayer is a personal time with you and God. He empowers you. He puts faith in you. Jesus lives in you by his word, your association with his word. He lives in you in this way. And so he is doing the work in us and through us. There's a time to pray, and there's a time to act, as Jesus demonstrated. Jesus got alone with the Father, and he prayed. And when he went out to minister, he acted. He didn't say, Father, will you do this? One time he did that to show the people that he was just obeying the Father. And he even said so. The one man on the top of the building had more authority than the whole church full of people that were so double-minded they couldn't do anything. And so it should be with Jesus and us. Our good confession is in Galatians 2 and 20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Really, does he really live in you? Well, if he does, then he can do the same thing through you as a body as he did through his first body. And in fact, he said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So God's plan was always for Jesus to be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's the whole point. Jesus in his corporate body would do the same thing he did in his first body, and he will do it in all those who believe. That just lets you know how many are not believing. And all they got to do is read their Bible. He shot that arrow straight up into heaven, Dana said, and looking up, he was demonstrating to us how we do warfare. We keep our eyes on him. Our hands and our fingers have been prepared for battle, and through this spiritual war, God is working. Well, notice the authority of those who believe God's word and work for the Lord. They become the body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? Jesus. Well, then let him live. Let him do what he always does. Psalm 18:31-40. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? The God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me on my high places, like on top of the church. He teacheth my hands to war, so that mine arms do bend a bow of brass. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Nothing shall in any wise hurt me. And thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I will pursue mine enemies and overtake them. Neither will I turn again until they are consumed. I will smite them through so that they shall not be able to rise. They shall fall under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also made mine enemies turn their backs unto me, that I might cut off them that hate me. And so it shall be. And Dana went on to say, God's calling the church to pray like it's never prayed before. Again, it's not just prayer to God for the situation. It is acting in God's orders, right? Okay, God's calling the church to pray like it's never prayed before, with passion, courage, intensity, fire, fervor, urgency, and with precision. He said, remember to be precise, as it matters more than ever now. Our prayers will not return void. Amen. In 2 Kings 6:15-17, it says, when the servant of the man of God arose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. That's the Lord's army. And so Dana said, I will gladly stand in my position as a watchman, and I will call the church to repentance. I will call the church to prayer. I will call the church to be stronger. And I will call men and women of God to seek the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit more than ever, and more than ever we've ever needed it before. Well, that's the truth. Everybody is supposed to be filled with the Spirit according to the manifestations in the book of Acts. Everybody. If you're going out without the power of the Spirit, guess what? You're going to be met by an enemy that you can't conquer. Now, in the natural world, we need supernatural power, he says here, working in us, with us, and through us, and in every aspect of our lives. Yes. He told us we're on the front line. There's no going back. There's no surrender and no retreat. We're going to remain on that front line. Well, amen. I agree 100%. Well, Father, thank you for this warning. We pray that the saints out there will discern and decide what it is that they are to exercise their authority over in the name of Jesus. And thank you that you, according to Luke chapter 1, have redeemed us out of the hand of our enemies. That's part of our redemption. So we stand on that, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good night, saints. Bless you.